welcome everyone to episode 91 of For the Love of Cinema. Today we're talking about A Star is Born, Venom, and A Private Life, Netflix. I'm one of your hosts, Grayson Maxwell, and joining me as always, well not as always because Nick was gone last week.
Hey, funny thing is, I listened to the episode last week, and thanks guys, I really appreciate your support, and whatever, you know?
What are you talking about, Nick?
We definitely, like, talked some crap on you for, like, five whole minutes.
You guys ragged on me. You bullied me.
Well, you didn't come on the episode because you weren't feeling well.
I wasn't feeling well, all right? Sometimes Papa Bear's got to take a day off.
I don't know, man. I mean,
that's not the way life works.
No. When you're adult,
not
you're
at
adult.
All.
It's not. So Nick's here. So
I am here. Nick.
I'm also here. This is Roger.
And this must be For the Love of Cinema podcast.
It is.
What
indeed.
Episode is this, Grayson?
Episode 91.
Good.
I feel like you know very well what episode it is, and you're just like testing me every week to make sure.
It is a test.
Okay, fair. All right, as always, little week wrap up. What did you guys do? Is anything exciting strike you, or what's going on?
I've been writing, I guess.
What have you been writing, Nick? It's a big deal.
Short screenplay.
Short haikus.
No big deal.
No, haikus cannot be any shorter.
Yeah.
5.75.
That's right.
What about you, Robbie?
5.3. That's my short haikus. No, man. Just working life.
Yeah.
Took my kid to the dentist. That was fun.
Oh, gosh.
The most fun.
Did you tell her you weren't out for ice cream?
No,
or
we went
straight
to the dentist, Nick.
Well, did
there's
you?
No need to lie to your children. Is that what happened to you?
I don't. Yeah, I was told I was going to the dog park to run around.
And here, well, my Freudian slip there. To the Nick's dentist. Digging deep into the past there. Well, as always, the box office. What do you guys think took number one? Okay, let me ask you this: what deserved to take number one?
Well, Star is Born, but I'm sure
definitely.
Venom took number one. There's no doubt in mind about that. But I'm very conflicted about Venom. We're going to get into that very shortly. But $100 million budget so far has done $378. I'm sure that surprised the hell out of everybody.
I mean, yes and no, I guess. But I'm sure it did because of the movies and how we're going to talk about them today.
Good one, Nick.
Thanks.
That week off really did a lot for you, buddy.
Yeah.
Alright, number two, A Star is Born, and deservedly so. I'm glad this movie is getting a lot of... I'm glad people are really viewing this movie. And I'm the one that bet... Well, I said it would do above 80, and it did, the first week, 135 off of a $36 million budget.
This is not the first week.
The second week.
This is the second week.
Well, it had a weekend, then a week, then a weekend.
Yeah, this is the second week.
Okay, fine, second week. Whatever, fine. But that's great numbers. I didn't expect it to do that, so I'm glad it did.
Who knew you make a good movie and people will go see it? There's a shocker there.
First Man, number three, $59 million budget so far, did $25 million. That's not great, but I assume after all the hoopla of Stars Born and Venom gets out of everyone's veins, this one will be just skyrocket up.
No, I have a quick question before we go into the rest of the box office. Do you think they could have released this sometime... else?
Not in the middle of October?
Not in the middle
of October.
I thought
that myself, actually.
Why? What? I thought it's fine where it is.
I don't know. I was thinking more of a...
maybe a week ahead or a week behind, but...
Yeah. Well...
I don't know.
I think a November release probably would have done it.
Nah, November's just as stacked.
Yeah, this November is stacked, man. You can't... Holy moly, this November. We're going to get into that 1 second, but...
It could have lit August on fire.
Yeah. Yeah, that probably would have been good. Maybe it wasn't ready. Who knows? I think they wanted to really, really correspond with the Madness
birthday.
All the
NASA stuff, yeah. I'm sure.
That's true.
Goosebumps 2, Haunted Halloween, number 4, $35 million budget, has done $19.9 million worldwide. Not great, but that's definitely going to pick up as we go into Halloween.
I think so.
Number 5, Smallfoot. As we talked last week, we actually really enjoyed this movie. Nick, did you watch it?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you think?
Well, it wasn't any Bigfoots in there.
Nick,
just a lot of Smallfoots.
Leave the one-liners out of it.
Sorry,
all right?
Sorry, everyone. That wasn't even funny.
I mean, if you bring a one-liner, yeah. Let's make it fun.
Yeah.
It's also
right.
Please make it have sense. Make it make sense too, please. I think I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I thought it was different than what I thought, but it was a good different. So
you took your daughter to it, right?
No, she was not feeling so well.
Oh.
So I watched Smallfoot as an adult man by myself.
Hey, we do that a lot here, though.
I mean, you guys do that. Generally, I have a built-in excuse.
Yeah, I have a kid, you know.
That's right.
True. Well, I mean, you have a kid for at least how many more years, and then you're again an old man by yourself, because she's not going to want to go with you, and when she, like, gets that age where she's too cool for dad anymore.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
All right. All right. Off of no budget given, but 110 worldwide. That's a great number for that one, too. I didn't think that would do nearly that. But 6 through 10 are as follows: Night School, Bad Times at the El Royale, The House with the Clock on Its Walls, The Hate You Give, A Simple Favor. What's that?
When did The Hate You Give come out?
I don't think it goes wide till what, the week
this,
after next or
this,
whatever?
This week or next week or the week after, but it's only done 2.4 million. But again, it's not wide yet, so yeah. I'm not too worried about it.
It's got like a 96 on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Yeah, it does. A huge number. Star is Born, 95. It has a better Rotten Tomatoes than Star is Born. Number 11, The Nun. 13, Crazy Rich Asians, still holding it down. Bringing its crazy total to... It can bring its crazy rich total to 228. My goodness. And we have Old Man and the Gun, the last movie for Robert Redford, at number 15. Hellfest, number 16. Incredibles 2, still in the top 20.
Look at it.
18 weeks, still in the top 20.
That is crazy.
Jeez. I just want to see what it's at real quick. It's at $1.2 billion. I almost couldn't say the number. And the beautiful boy, the Steve Carell.
There's your boy Chalamet.
Yeah.
is number 20. I'm sorry, number 19, and the wife, number 20. All right, so this past weekend we had Bad Times at the El Royale, First Man, Goosebumps 2, Haunted Halloween, October 19th, Halloween, The Hate U Give, Serenity, October 26th, Hunter Killer, Indivisible, Johnny English Strikes Again, and Suspiria, November 2nd, The Nutcracker in the Four Realms, Nobody's Fool, Bohemian Rhapsody, November 9th, The Grinch, Overlord, Girl in the Spider's Web, and November 16th, Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Grindelwald, Instant Family, At Eternity's Gate, and Widows. So that means you have a few days for the posting of this episode until Halloween, The Hate U Give, and Serenity. Just 2 weeks, Hunter Killer, Johnny English Strikes Again. 3 weeks for Nutcracker and the Four Realms and Bohemian Rhapsody. 4 weeks for The Grinch, Overlord, The Girl in the Spider's Web. And 5 weeks for Fantastic Beasts, Crimes of Grindelwald, Instant Family. I have a feeling that Fantastic Beasts is going to do... I'm gonna say opening weekend 300.
I don't know about
nothing
that.
Nothing is ever gonna break 200 again until the next Avengers movie. No,
give me hope.
No. Hold on. If you'd have said 150, I might back you on that. 300 is insane. That is 33% higher than the biggest opening weekend of all time.
I'm saying the Harry Potter fans are insane.
No, right? That's fine.
And there are many of them.
Now, this has been my personal struggle. Over the past couple of days I've been thinking about this. Is it sad that I like Fantastic Beasts more than Harry Potter? Maybe I need to watch
it. No, it's not sad. I mean, a lot of people like The Hobbit more than The Lord of the Rings. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same thing, really. But
yeah.
I mean, I guess it's not the same thing, but it's similar. Mm-hmm. I mean, you might like the characters more. I love the fact that the one person we are following is a human, is one of us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is a muggle without any powers, so... And that's pretty
He's
cool.
He's a nomad, sir.
A nomad, whatever. I think that's really cool, mm-hmm. so...
No, I do. I really enjoy Fantastic Beasts, and I am excited for The Crimes of Grindelwald, so...
Yeah, and Johnny Depp looks pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Jude Law, looking forward to young Dumbledore. Mm-hmm. Albus Dumbledore. All right. Get very excited for that. All right, current events. James Gunn, as it turns out, as we all know... was taken away from his projects of the Guardians, out of the Marvel Universe, and to surprise, surprise, picked up by DC.
So I would like to make a comment on who brought this up.
By all means.
What, the week after he got fired?
You definitely said DC was...
that was me.
You definitely said DC was going to scoop him up.
Definitely.
That's right. I
did it. Now, here's the question. Or when this project gets done and when it is out in theaters, it probably will be pretty good. Obviously, James Gunn is very talented.
Well, he's writing and directing what should be the next Suicide Squad.
Yes.
At least that's what they have him tapped for now.
And I don't know if it's true or not, but they did say that they were going with a pretty decently new cast. I'm sure Will Smith will be in there.
I'm sure being Will Smith and Margot Robbie, right? Those two have to come back.
Is Jared going to come back?
Probably. I mean, him and Margot Robbie are doing that Joker film too, right?
I don't know. DC's
all over the place.
Jumble of all over the place right now.
You keep hearing news and you don't know if it's true or if it's not. But yeah, here's my next question that I wanted to segue into. If that Suicide Squad movie does bonkers and is really good, how many other DC films do you think they'll have him go on?
Oh, I'm sure they have 5 or 6 right now, like either in production or getting ready to enter production. But I mean, it's if Aquaman's bad, which is looking like it's just okay, nothing more than okay, then that's not good for them. Yeah. I mean, obviously Wonder Woman 2 is in the pipeline somewhere. It's already been pre-production. It's definitely 100% a go.
Shazam's in there too.
Yeah. Well, I meant made by him. Like,
and by James Gunn?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it'll be great. I do.
Mm-hmm. It just depends on what direction they take to try to weave what's left of this universe together.
Here's another question. Do you think Dave Bautista will be in it?
Oh.
Because he vowed to follow him, so.
Oh, wow. Now that would be interesting.
That's a contract breach and a half, though, man.
Well, it depends. If he fulfills his role of Drax, he runs his Disney contract.
They couldn't say anything.
Yeah. They can't do anything to tell him no.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I mean, I don't think that in anyone's clause there's a you cannot be in DC movies. Mm-hmm. So.
I mean, if you're an actor, paid to act.
I'd say that's a probably pretty good. It's likely that Dave Bautista will be in that movie.
What if it's just like a cameo of something for like 2 seconds as like a security guard? How hilarious would that be?
Or like Chris Pratt, Bradley Cooper in it.
Oh god.
He just recasts everyone with his people. That'd be kind of cool though, wouldn't it? I mean, I'd get first, but
that'd be funny. Well, speaking of,
how to make Suicide Squad 2 better, make it Guardians of the Galaxy 3, is that what
you're
saying?
Hey, Suicide Squad, the Academy Award winning film, I'll have you know.
That's very true. well, I guess, speaking of DC and their rival Marvel, Ryan Coogler, no surprise, set to write and direct Black Panther.
Yeah,
2.
But I mean, day one of Black Panther, we knew this was like this was a sure thing. Mm-hmm. Black Panther 2, and it was going to be his thing again. But I mean, and very much deservedly so. He knocked that one out of the park.
Yeah,
that's a great movie.
Well, I mean, he's already got Creed 2 is on tap for this Thanksgiving, so coming up fairly close to us for now. And you know, I'm sure he's got something else in the pipeline before that. So
I'm sure he does.
Got to finish one and keep right on going. And they would have given him whatever money he asked for.
Oh, 100%. And Creed's going to do phenomenal business.
Dude,
if it's half as good as the first one. Mm-hmm. I mean,
first one's the best picture. It was so good. Like, it just took everyone by storm. Like, so good.
It looks like it's going to be pretty fantastic.
Hope so.
Liam Neeson. Some recent news about him. Him and Kate Walsh are set to star in a thriller called Honest Thief from the...
That's a Netflix, though, movie,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this is Netflix. Okay. It's Mark Williams, the co-creator of Ozark, will direct a script from Steve Ulrich. Basically, the plot is Liam Neeson will play a bank robber who tries to turn himself in because he's fallen in love with a woman, which is played by Kate Walsh. And she basically owns the storage.
Oh, we've talked about this.
We've talked about this?
Another time. I remember that plot, like, very well, actually.
It sounds awful.
Yeah, no, I mean...
Well, Liam has a way of making awful movies not so awful, so...
But, I mean, it will be interesting to see him. I thought he was done with acting, but, hey...
He's only done with acting until checks start rolling by.
Or until someone puts a blank check in front of him.
You know, I'm done with this podcast until, next Sunday.
That's true.
You know, when it's time for another podcast.
That's very true.
So, guys, how good was Crazy Rich Asians? Because I still have yet to see it.
Oh, my God.
It's great. It's one of the better movies of the year. Top 10.
You know who still hasn't seen it either?
I think it'll be nominated for something.
China?
I think it'll be nominated for set design or costume. I think it'll be nominated for something.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, so it hasn't been released in China. It was just recently released in India. I don't know why. People are saying that that's not Warner Brothers' decision. It's actually China's decision.
Well,
so far.
Yeah, even though Warner Brothers makes it, when they get distributed to China, it's got to go through another, like all that stuff is run through like a Chinese distribution no matter what.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys ever heard about the Iron Man 3 story. when Iron Man 3 came out, like, they shot a different ending, basically. Not a different structured ending for just China. So
that's interesting.
It's the way stuff works over there. I mean, it's communism at its best. That's what it is.
Well, the filmmakers were saying from this Variety article that the filmmakers were careful not to include most bits of the underlying Kevin Kwan novel because it could be interpreted as a slur on China.
Oh, man, that's tricky. That's gray area there, but...
Well, yeah, I mean...
Well, if they didn't include it, though, nothing to worry about, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right, of course.
But it would be interesting to see the cut that is released in China.
Sure.
At least.
I mean, as long as it's not in, you know, Chinese or Mandarin, because that will benefit me none.
Can you read subtitles?
Yeah, but I've already seen the movie in English, so I don't need to.
I'll watch the Chinese dub version.
You pirate and illegal copy.
of all the copies available, that's the one you watch. It's
the you Chinese. Know what? When you do that, we'll talk about it.
So, Johnny Depp has addressed the, speaking of Fantastic Beasts...
God, this is one I still can't wrap my head around. He apologizes.
It's a casting controversy, so he says. But he broke his silence, and a couple quotes. And this is from Johnny Depp himself. I'll be honest with you, I felt bad for JK, having to field all these various feelings from people out there. I felt bad that she had to take that, but ultimately there is a real controversy. And then he continues to say, the fact remains I was falsely accused, which is why I'm suing the Sun newspaper for defamation of repeating false accusations. JK has seen the evidence and therefore knows I was falsely accused, and that's why she has publicly supported me. She doesn't take things lightly. She would not stand up if she didn't know the truth. So that's really it.
Okay. Okay, fair. Johnny Depp, I'm sure, will knock it out of the park again, like he did the first one. Mm-hmm. But
oh, yeah, of course. I mean, this is the first time I've seen any of this. I suppose with controversy, but... I mean, obviously, it's big.
With all this Hollywood he said, she said, it's hard to keep track of everything.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
Well, so, Nick, give us one other news story.
Yeah, so the Joker... you guys know about these extras that were just kept on the train?
They were I can't believe trains. In a movie that size that would have happened, but who knows why? They may have been inconvenienced. The story is what they were held. They weren't able to use the bathroom.
So yeah, supposedly they were not locked on the trains, or they were locked on the trains.
They weren't allowed to go pee.
Yeah, they weren't allowed to use the bathroom or anything, so they ended up urinating on the train tracks itself.
But hey, I mean, you gotta go. Excuse me. If you gotta go, you gotta go. Mm-hmm. I mean, can't hold it for that long.
So I guess the union had no comment, but a source familiar with the incident confirmed a complaint was made regarding a break violation to the SAG-AFTRA rep.
Extras don't get SAG, do they?
No. They can, but generally no.
Apparently they went to the set immediately and figured out the solution. But it was resolved.
I'm sure it was just an oversight. That wouldn't have, like, I'm sure it was just someone. What if they couldn't get the cars open? Well, oh, that's scary.
Well, you know what?
You don't want to tell them that. Oh, guys, we can't get you out of there.
I mean, personally, it's kind of realistic. They're on trains in New York. I mean, I don't know if you've ever been on a subway before or on a train.
I actually have. It's very, very well organized.
Well, sometimes it smells like piss in there.
It does. You know? I mean, yeah, well. Yeah, that's what a lot of people say, you know. Anyway, moving on.
I got one mini 2-second story. Just came out today, actually. Somebody else in line, possibly, to be James Bond after Daniel Craig is gone. That's
no way.
Not Idris Elba. Ooh. Old Robb Stark himself, Richard Madden from Game of Thrones.
Wow.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a young choice, too.
That's really cool. I mean,
that's laying out your 4 or 5 movie block.
Yeah.
And going.
He's... if they go that way, they're going to get another Pierce Brosnan one. And people weren't very fond of Pierce Brosnan as Bond. I mean, maybe like in the beginning, but they really did not like him as Bond.
Those movies also aren't very good either.
No, they're not. They're actually some of the worst in the series, so...
But, I mean, James Bond is James Bond, you know? I mean...
That's not true.
No?
No, each Bond is different. Completely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
completely.
It's still a hell of an honor, though, to be considered James Bond. I don't take it away from him, but I don't think he'll get it. I can't see him getting it over Idris. I don't think there's any chance of that happening.
Why is that?
Because it's Idris Elba.
I know.
Idris is a leading man by every definition.
Very true.
And Rob Stark really isn't. At least not yet.
Could be, though.
No, I'm not. Again, Rob's. I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying. I keep calling Rob Stark.
Richard.
Richard, yeah. I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying. I don't think you've earned that yet.
Mm-hmm. I actually just watched The Mountain Between Us.
No, he's in that.
We talked about that. Yeah, you and I talked about that. Kate Winslet and Idris.
Yeah.
That very formula, very.
Yeah.
You can pretty much see everything coming a mile away.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Guys, we watched some trailers this week. Serenity by director. I looked at you guys like you're going to give me information. Stephen Knight, Matthew McConaughey, Anne Hathaway, Diane Lane, Jason Clarke, Jimon Hansu. Great cast.
Yeah,
definitely. Great cast.
What is this, 2 weeks from now? This comes out or next
week? Out. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks from now?
Next week. Friday. Comes out Friday.
I get the same vibe as Shutter Island. That's the vibe I get.
Yeah.
Where there's like a big secret on the island that everyone knows but him.
And you can definitely tell in this trailer because the shopkeeper was like, oh, you have a good day, make the right choices, whatever she says. You definitely do get that vibe. How do you think McConaughey's gonna do? Which I mean, I always love.
He's on fire right now. He's really good right now. Although, I just watched Free State of Jones.
How'd you like it?
I didn't.
It's not very good.
I didn't like it. As a matter of fact, I really didn't like it. I was excited to watch it. I saw it. I was like, I played it. I made myself dinner and watched that.
Mm-hmm.
I was, by the middle, halfway through, I was like, God, this really isn't very good.
Yeah.
No, it's not his fault. It's bad, though. It's just not a good movie.
I expected more from it. I'll just say that.
Yeah, very true.
On the same token, I watched, now Roger Mayne, I'm feeling of the two of you, Roger will know this one. I also watched Summersby.
Nope.
With Richard Gere and Diane Lane, he's a Confederate soldier returning home, and it's a very interesting movie because he's accused of not being the person Jack Summersby, and, like, he's trying to get people he is, and it's one of those movies like it's really kind of interesting.
It's
how
like
they,
The Talented Mr. Ripley, kind of.
Kind of, it's really kind of one of those. They give you clues through like the camera work.
Okay.
You really have to pay attention if, you know, someone's looking at something through a window and then someone's looking at something over a porch. And it's like, then you see the mirror of that shot later. It's really kind of cool, but I watched that for the first time. I miss the 90s and the Richard Gere movies in the 90s. I liked it, but I did not like Free State of Jones. I will say, did not like it.
Yeah.
Sorry, just look at that little diatribe away.
I don't know. Serenity does, it looks decent.
Looks weird.
I feel like the trailer is like that purposely. It's purposely misleading. It doesn't want to give you anything. Doesn't have to. And trailers, take note. Please keep giving us less. We'll get it in the movie. So
it's not a trailer that we're talking about, but or even a movie we're talking about this week. There's a Matthew McConaughey movie. I believe he is playing. Who's that guy that sings Cheeseburger in Paradise?
Jimmy Buffett.
I can see Matthew McConaughey playing Jimmy Buffett.
I don't know if he's playing Jimmy Buffett or it's a movie basically about Jimmy Buffett. And Matthew McConaughey is at the star in it.
That's funny because we also have we have Rocket Man, and we have Bohemian Rhapsody. Like all the waves. Just that's funny how like I'm sure they're all three different studios too. Yeah. So it's funny how that happens.
That new Bohemian Rhapsody trailer that's attached to Star Is Born is pretty stellar.
Oh, I'm sure it's gonna make tons of money.
Definitely.
Too.
You know what was weird? I saw an article earlier this week about how Bohemian Rhapsody and A Star Is Born won't be recognized as a musical, or they're in the Oscars.
No,
awards, I believe.
Nor should they. Well, I mean, A Star Is Born I'd never even consider.
Well,
a musical.
Exactly. I wouldn't consider it a musical either.
It's a movie about music.
Yeah,
it's a movie about music. I mean, I guess if you had to stretch the argument, you could see it.
Yeah.
Maybe as a musical, but I would consider it a love story for like before a musical.
Well, yeah,
I wouldn't even consider it a love story,
and that's why I didn't even bother reading the article, to be honest.
Well, you should definitely read the article.
I should, but I just felt, I didn't consider it as a musical either. I was like, oh, that's trash.
All right, next trailer.
Yeah, next trailer.
Jonathan by director Bill Oliver, Ansel Elgort, Patricia Clarkson, Matt Bomer.
Old Baby Driver himself here.
Old Baby Driver himself.
I can't help not watch Baby Driver.
He's good. On. He's someone to watch for years to come.
Definitely. I think
this trailer looks pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Mostly because you don't really know what's going on.
But again, I like that.
Yeah.
I don't like getting the whole story from the trailer. You know, like, I mean.
Well, supposedly this is about a man or boy or an adolescent.
Multi-conscious signal.
Yes.
Single body.
Single body, multi-conscious, and he's living life day by day. One day as one person, the next day as another, sending videos or archiving videos to himself.
Talking to each other.
Yeah. And then he found out that his other conscious has a girlfriend that he has no idea about. So that's pretty wild. Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll definitely go see it just because of who's in it.
Yeah, definitely.
And just make it good.
All right, Aladdin. Everyone's really looking forward to this one. Director Guy Ritchie, which I have my issues with Guy Ritchie right now because of the most recent King Arthur movie was so bad, but Mina Massoud, Will Smith, Naomi Scott, Nassim Pedrad, Billy Magnussen. I believe Roger said it best. Show us the genie.
I have no comment on this trailer until I see the goddamn genie, okay? Until that happens, I don't care. I don't care at all.
We watched the trailer right before, and then after it stopped, you know, it says Aladdin, it says coming next summer next 2019, summer. And Roger just says, where's the genie? Show us the genie. It's so demanding in a way. Like, that's going to be a huge deal, the genie.
When's the last time you watched Aladdin, the
anime? Yeah, the Disney? Anime.
It's been a while. It's been a real long while.
Maybe 5 years.
Yeah.
I watched Beauty and the Beast a lot, but not... Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, and Aladdin... are my top three.
Okay.
And I've watched Beauty and the Beast and Lion King both recently and a lot, but it's been a while since I watched Aladdin.
Now, Robin Williams, definitely a big, some big shoes to fill, but I mean, this is a whole other version. I mean, it's alive, not animated.
I bet it's more similar to the animated than we think it is.
You think?
Well, especially we see in the little teaser here, we see the Cave of Wonders where the other one starts. Yeah. It looks pretty dead on. Like.
And the voice, what did it say? Welcome... Or
the diamond in the rough thing.
Diamond in the rough. Which that sounded a little.
Yeah, it's supposed to sound like the.
Why would you want that to be different?
Why would you want even to be different, Nick?
No, I'm not saying I want it to be.
You're
different.
You're showing your woozle skin now, Nick.
We all watch Beauty and the Beast, right?
Yeah.
Beauty and the Beast really isn't that different from. It is.
It's not.
It's not.
But I mean, nor should it be. Like
no. No. So I mean, I don't have any reason to expect Aladdin to vary too much from that. They should do what they did to make a great movie.
Maybe Beauty and the Beast, I could definitely see. You know, someone's like Beauty and the Beast. Oh, great, tons of music. I could see less music being in Aladdin. Maybe the really popular songs, but other than that, I would say hopefully no. I
totally forgot there's so much songs and singing in Aladdin.
I think Aladdin would benefit a live action. There's
an iconic song in Aladdin. The Whole New World is like, that's one of Disney's like biggest.
But like A Whole New World, maybe when he's talking about starving as a street rat and like running from the guards, like that one, maybe like two others, but I feel like it needs to be kept to a minimum.
Do you think this movie's going to be dark at all?
Oh yeah, I think it. I think
sure.
Yeah.
Just because Beauty and the Beast was a little bit dark.
Everything since Batman Begins has been dark. Everything. Like everything.
Venom's dark.
Venom is very dark.
Yeah. I am excited to see Aladdin. I can't wait to see it on the big screen. So I mean, just
join the club, Nick.
Did we confirm if Gilbert Godfrey is Iago or not?
That'd be sweet.
You know what? I'm gonna look.
Okay. Roger's our official fact checker of the show.
That's right.
All right, and that brings us to, what do you guys want to talk about first? Private Life?
Let's get it out the way.
Yeah.
All right. The Netflix movie this week, as you know, we do a Netflix movie a week. It's called A Private Life. Okay, so for a few weeks we really watched some great Netflix movies.
Not great, but watchable, very watchable
movies. This one's my choice for this week. 2018, of course, came out very recently, the 5th of October. Tamara Jenkins, she both wrote and directed it. Catherine Hahn. Now, it's interesting here. Catherine Hahn gets higher billing than Paul Giamatti. Even in the credits, she's first. And to me, Paul Giamatti's a bigger, more marketable star than Catherine Hahn.
I'm just assuming this. Is it Do you think it's because that she's, I guess, more popular now?
I think she's more popular with the people more likely to turn this on. Like,
yeah.
And I think I guess Roger and I's age range, I think she's more popular. Even maybe down to your age range, because you're like a decade younger. But yeah, I'd say that was a smarter choice because Catherine Hahn is more identifiable with them. But Paul Giamatti so much. John Carroll Lynch, whom I just met on my show. The show I just left, $1. I just finished to go on to my next movie, but I did meet John Carroll Lynch. Nice. He is tall. Let me tell you something. He is super tall. Intimidating to be around, but just say the least. But Catherine Hahn plays Rachel. Paul Giamatti plays Richard, a married couple who are really struggling to get pregnant. And it is putting a great deal of strain on their relationship, on their marriage, to the point where they are very desperate to try anything, including IVF, which is in vitro fertilization.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're looking at young girls who don't want to have the kid they're pregnant with and maybe adopting their child. They're trying all different kinds of options. And what I noticed in the beginning of the movie, it starts with them. It looks like she's in bed, kind of half clothed, and he's like behind her. You look like, okay, this could be erotic. And now he's just giving her a shot, and it's not fun. It's that sets up the whole movie, and that pretty much establishes
the tone of the movie
right there. It's just, I don't want to say bleak. I don't think bleak is quite the word.
Dismal.
Bland.
Yeah.
Dismal, bland.
It's not fun.
Yeah, no, so, and I...
But neither is IVF.
well, see, that's where I think the movie's captured. I mean, it's not...
Oh, no, it's a very real movie.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's probably what
it... I bet you that's why it got made.
Yeah.
Because it's extremely real.
Gilbert Gottfried is not listed as a young man, which...
Thank you, official fact checker.
I'm out! I don't care anymore.
So, halfway through this movie, it kind of takes a turn, which they enlist the help of someone close to them.
A family member.
Yeah, a family member.
Why don't you just skip half the movie, Nick?
Well, I'm just saying, I expected
more. Because he doesn't want to talk about this movie, because it's dark and sad.
Yeah. I expected more, after halfway through this movie, like during the third act. But it's not the reality we live in.
I was surprised. I'm not going to spoil anything. I was surprised in the way it ends.
Oh, yeah. Well, not every story needs a happy ending or a good
sad. Didn't I just say I'm not going to spoil it?
And it's it's a Netflix movie. Right? You're not paying for it.
Okay, fine. Fair point. But
every movie should have an ending, though.
Yeah.
How's that sound?
This left open.
Okay, fair.
How about that?
Fair point.
And, I mean, I respect what they did. I just didn't enjoy it as much.
No, I can see why they ended the movie that way. But I would have wished for, I guess the sucker in me would have looked for a more satisfactory ending, just for my personal feeling. But how it ends, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I'm okay with it. It's not going to make everybody real happy. But
you know what I was expecting? Is the ending, you kind of are still engaged in the ending while the credits start to roll. And I was expecting...
Yeah. Oh, I watched...
I was expecting someone... All the way. Yeah. I was expecting someone to walk in frame and sit down with them. Like, I was totally expecting that. And it... Tamara Jenkins, you must really have low opinions of girls giving away their babies, because, man...
I will say, acting was top-notch, I thought.
Paul Giamatti's always good.
Yeah.
Giamatti's awesome in everything.
Mm-hmm. And so is Molly Shannon, John Carroll Lynch. Yeah. They're great. I mean, they're always good.
One of my favorite scenes in this was when the... when the girl comes back to the car crying and all that,
mm-hmm.
and she
tells Paul Giamatti goes in there, Richard goes in there, he knocks that thing over,
and he's like, "Oh, sorry, I didn't mean
to." Like, he really wasn't trying to knock this stuff over and cause a scene, but his coat gets caught on it, flips all these leaflets all over the office, and he's like, "Shit!" Like, he just says it under his breath, like, "I really wasn't..."
Like, he just can't catch a break, any break at all. And I love that when they're in the doctor's office, the IVF doctor, and they're... And every time you see, like, the shot of the lobby, there's just a bunch of unhappy people sitting in all the stalls and chairs.
Here's my question. Is it the same people every time?
No. I thought about that, too, by the time I saw the third or fourth scene there. It's really not.
Okay.
I don't think you're supposed to be looking at the fact the same people. I think you're supposed to notice, wow, every single one of them looks like they're very unhappy to be here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, so going to the baby doctor in general sucks.
Mm-hmm. That's something you have experience with?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I have a kid.
Well, I don't know if like that was... I don't remember that far back.
Well, okay, so the IVF people, from what I get, mostly it's regular, you know, obstetrician, OBGYN stuff. And that's what OBGYN offices look like, waiting for babies, all the baby pictures on the wall and stuff like that. That's what they're like. And they're not the most cool places to sit, especially as a dude.
I can imagine that, yeah.
It's really, because you don't get to go, like, for most of the stuff, like, I never got to go with my wife. So you go and you sit there while they go and do other things.
Yeah.
So they're pretty glum, but, like, they look like they're all awesome. There's always something terrible playing on TV. Like, I'd never watched an episode of the show Psych on USA until my child was nearing birth. Then I watched like 8 episodes every time we went. It was always on because we're all there at the same time in the morning. So, you know, there's things like that.
Yeah.
That'd be funny if you watch 8 episodes like in sync too, like one after like you're like, Roger, I actually kind of like this show.
It wasn't bad.
All because of the IVF doctor.
It wasn't bad.
I love the show Psych.
I think the real winner is Dr. Dordick. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I'm a child. Moving on.
How inappropriate of you, Grayson.
Dennis O'Hara plays Dr. Dordick. I actually like Dennis O'Hara. I actually liked him more than the movie itself. Mm-hmm. Just saying a lot, actually.
So, I mean, this movie, it's not a great movie. It's really not, so...
There are plenty of... Okay, I'm doing this new thing. My buddy and I talked on the phone last night. He issued me a dare. Instead of telling people not to watch a movie, maybe give them reasons to watch, but say if you're not totally in love with it, don't watch it. So I'm going to do that. So there are plenty of other great movies to watch on Netflix. There's never going to be a lack of content, even Netflix originals.
Yeah.
This one, if you like Paul Giamatti, if you like Catherine Hahn, and you do see Catherine Hahn fully... Well,
you see it. You see a nice bush.
Most of her nude. So there's always that.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say don't watch this movie. It's just not enjoyable. But I enjoyed it though. Like,
that was
it's
worst
so
way
weird.
To try to skirt around that.
It's so weird.
But he did skirt though.
I didn't enjoy it, but I did enjoy it at the same time. I just wasn't satisfied with how it ended.
This is more of like a family drama than anything else, I think. I mean, it's that feel to it.
It's an oddly specific movie type. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, watch it if you want to. If you got Netflix, check it out.
Exactly.
You know what? It's kind
that's
of a,
my ringing endorsement.
It's kind of a worse version of Meyerowitz stories.
No. You don't think so? Meyerowitz stories.
Well, I mean, it's still family drama and brothers and, you know. Anyway, okay, maybe we're wrong with that.
Let's talk about Venom for a minute.
Venom. Okay. I think Venom is very much missing. I think in a couple of years, people look back and really enjoy Venom.
So, I didn't really take notes while I was watching because I really enjoyed it. There was some action. It was very funny. Now, it wasn't technically a Marvel movie, right?
No, I mean, it is, but it's not...
It's not in the Marvel
universe. It's not
in the
MCU.
Yeah.
It is a Marvel movie, not in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Let's just get it out of the way. Tom Hardy is a beast.
That's Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
He's one of the best we have. Yeah. So, tell me something he's bad in.
Most of the positive of this movie comes from Tom Hardy.
Mm-hmm. Like, like we talked about before, if I had to give this movie a score out of 0 to 100, I give it a 30, and 25% of that goes directly to Tom Hardy.
Jeez.
All right, we have... just let me get the housekeeping out of the way. Ruben Fleischer is the director. Of course, you know the cast. Tom Hardy, Michelle Williams, who I didn't care for. Riz Ahmed, again, I didn't care for. Scott Hayes, Reed Scott, Jenny Slate. Jenny Slate, Dr. Doris Scurth, who I know better from Gifted. Yeah, she's great. She dated Chris Evans. Lucky girl.
Was that the doctor?
Yeah, the doctor from Venom. Yeah, the teacher from Gifted. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. And I'm leaving out one huge cast member, but I'm for the reason of spoilers, I'm gonna leave that out. So that being said, what were you guys expecting going to Venom? I was expecting something I did not get, but let me ask you guys that.
I expected a better movie.
Okay. Besides that.
Oh. Nothing.
All right. Nick.
I really don't know. I mean, I expected. Because it's so weird, because this Venom that we got, I feel like, is the Venom we deserved.
Are you talking from Spider-Man 3?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I forget.
You're right about that.
I believe it was the
that movie was hot trash.
Yeah. I believe it was the director, who directed it? Ruben Fleischer, who said, "All I want is Venom to be big."
Venom was big.
Well, yeah, exactly. Well,
like hulking.
Yeah, big exactly. And he was.
And I'm also okay with that. I have no problem with Venom, how he's animated at all. I think that was one of the better parts of this movie.
Definitely.
Same with every other symbiote in this film. Like, that was okay.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
I don't know. I mean, I really enjoyed it. I don't know. And I really don't understand these negative reviews in all of them.
Don't worry, I'm going to give one, so you understand.
It's very poor, I mean, okay, let me just sum it up for you. Very poorly written.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The acting is atrocious most of the time, on anyone but Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
The villain, he's a joke. Mm-hmm. Like, that guy was way overwritten, couldn't even deliver his lines most of the time. The guys he was, you know, his henchmen would not have taken crap from a guy like that.
Yeah.
No way would they have obeyed any orders he gave, ever. They made him very unlikable. They didn't have to. Mm-hmm. They made him more unlikable than he needed to be. I mean, the part about overpopulation, he's doing the city a favor by testing symbiotes on homeless people, and then...
That,
I think, went a little too far.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, given our...
that's kind of what would happen if Elon Musk went rogue and started doing things like this. It'd kind of go down like that.
Okay, fair.
I mean, because that's all this guy's supposed to be, right? This is bad genetic Elon Musk instead of running Tesla Elon Musk, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
this is who this dude is supposed to be.
What it was a project of them shooting off rockets. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You definitely got that Elon Musk vibe.
No, that's all it was.
It does start in space, which I thought was odd. Why does Venom movie start in space?
Well, because that's where Venom came from. That's fairly close to the comic.
So origin. Let me ask you this. This movie focused on Venom, the symbiote, not Eddie Brock as Venom, but Venom.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's surprising. There's been more than one
person as Venom.
I mean, there's a whole planet of
symbiotes. We learn later in the movie there are thousands of these symbiotes that just consume worlds.
Yeah.
So I mean, that being what it is, then we of course have the crash. Then we come to Eddie Brock.
Oh, so hang on, I want to stop you for 2 seconds. So one of the things that is actually true to generally regarded Venom origin story is it hitches a ride on a space shuttle back to Earth. This one's a little bit different how they get it. They say pulled off a comet, which is fine, whatever. But the shuttle crash lands, okay? And the pilot, his last name is Jameson, because it's J. Jonah Jameson's son. It's exactly how it is in Spider-Man 3 as well. It's his oldest son.
Okay.
They still use that in this Venom movie.
Yeah.
They don't actually refer to him as Jonah's son, but his last name is Jameson. And they definitely refer to him as that the whole way through.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they also mention, she mentions when she warns Eddie about the interview that she does not want him to take, she knows the outcome. She warns him about, you remember what happened in New York? So, like, they're referencing Spider-Man 3, or at least the Eddie Brock character getting fired because he stole the... They're referencing that one thing, which I thought was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing about Venom is... And I wonder how they were going to get around this, but Venom goes to Peter Parker first. And by saying that one line, remember New York? I kind of felt like they got around it beautifully, actually.
Yeah, and I mean...
Because Peter already had Venom.
Yeah.
And got, you know, so it was already done with.
I get you on that.
I enjoyed it. And now here's a question I wrote in my notes. The Sony, which it's so weird how it's written, Sony universe of Marvel characters versus the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Sony continues to make odd choices. I don't understand.
Yeah, Sony owns a handful of stuff themselves, like Fox did. So.
Exactly. Do you think there will be any acquisition of the Marvel?
No, because they don't even own Spider-Man yet. So until Spider-Man...
Spider-Man's kind of on loan to them.
Yeah,
until
exactly.
Spider-Man becomes full Marvel property, I don't see anything else doing it either. So,
Well, here's the first... tons of red flag. The first one is starting in space. For me, anyway. And then we have Eddie Brock. We actually see, like, montage of him being the guy in the streets. You know, people like him. People
love him. That, too, because they updated what would be a normal... newspaper beat reporter to like a blog journalist, which is cool because that's when was the last time you bought a newspaper?
Right, of course.
So I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he wants to get an interview with this guy who is He wants to get an interview with the he's been waiting for a very long
time. What's his name? He's got such an awful millennial.
Carlton Drake.
Carlton Drake.
Yeah, dude. Is
Carlton, who's also like 24 or like 25 mm-hmm. and like a billionaire leader or owner of a billionaire company. Again, really weird. But we want to get the interview because he knows he's a bad dude, or at least he's doing bad things. He's warned not to. He does the interview. It goes south, and then of course he is fired. And they go to great length in the very beginning to show you how much Eddie Brock and Annie are really into each other. Mm-hmm. And then just like that, she's done with him. Breaks up. Gives him back the ring over an interview that she told him not to do because she got
fired though.
She got hurt. It was his fault. Yes.
I mean, and we see what happens. Would you guys have done that? It's a moral choice. Up? No, what Eddie Brock does.
I don't know.
You mean violated your fiance's trust and privacy? Probably not.
Yeah.
But I'm also not an investigative journalist either.
Ooh. And here's in San Francisco. The thing.
If I had done that, I don't know if I'd have went straight to the jugular shot while interviewing the guy.
Yeah,
I might have tried to skirt around it to kind of get like the, hey, I know what's going on vibe, instead of be like, hey, I'm going to just do this right now.
Yep.
Or at least finish the interview you're being paid to get and then hammer start another one.
Sure.
So if it goes south, it goes south, but you still got the content. Mm-hmm. No one's unhappy.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was weird. It was such an odd breakup. And then he gets fired at work. He gets broken up with. He loses his apartment.
We jump 6 months.
Yeah. And then he meets. And then she's with another guy. Like, it's, that
it's
quick.
6 months, dude. 6 months isn't.
You were going to marry this guy. And she's with another one. Like, I thought it was really quick.
I'm not
though.
Her.
Yeah.
Yell at me. Don't slut shame.
Fine. Well, fine. Whatever. I'm fine. That seems odd to me. But
she parties, dude. Let her go. Live her life. The doctor seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah.
He tried to help Eddie. For no reason at all.
That's good. That's a very good point. I actually end up liking
seemed
that
like,
guy.
Yeah, he's a nice dude.
Nice dude, yeah.
I get it. I'd probably go out with him. Just saying.
We meet Doris, who is our inside information in the company. She's helping Eddie get into the company. That whole scene's actually kind of funny when they break in when she gets him in.
Yeah.
Like, that whole scene's actually really, I thought, played out pretty well, actually. I was worried about it, but
well, I mean, you kind of see it in the trailer when she's when he addresses her, because she was following him.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how that whole scene played out, and then that's when they take off to the science lab.
But see, I really question the security of Drake's lab, though.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah, she's there, she gets the door open.
One security guard?
Yeah, are there not cameras? You know?
Yeah.
Like, it takes days to find out who broke into the lab. Like, come on, dude, that'd be 40 seconds. Be like, who opened the door? Hold on. Oh, it's Eddie Brock!
Yeah.
Right there!
I mean, it wouldn't have taken these guys long to figure out what
was like going 3 days to figure out who did it. And it even takes days to figure out who opened the door to let him in. Like, all you have to do is to review the keycard access. Yeah. Come on, people.
Yeah, exactly. Now,
I was surprised what happened to Dr. Skirth, which, Dr. Doris Skirth, that's an awful name. I'm just throwing it out there. Terrible name.
It's as believable with the name as Colton Drake.
what about Cade Yeager?
Cade Yeager, Jesus. Exactly.
I was Cade surprised Yeager's what happened to her, given she's one of the few people in this movie that actually was, I mean, she's one of the few talent in this movie that mm-hmm. is good.
Yeah.
Why they didn't use her more, I'll never know. That was a poor choice to get rid of her. How much further in the movie do you guys want to go? That's
fine. Thing?
What's that?
Be done with it.
I don't know. I really enjoyed this movie. Well, I wouldn't say I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it as a Venom movie, I guess.
Well, no, I did too. But, and here's the thing. I expect something different. I didn't expect the villain to evolve into what the villain did. Because the villain should have been, the hero should have been Eddie Brock. The villain should have been Venom.
Mm-hmm.
Not, I mean, it shouldn't have been, the whole thing should have been like, the whole thing should have done like Spider-Man 3. Like, he realized he had to get rid of Venom. How does he do it? By saving the villains closest to him with Venom pretty much controlling him.
Why do you think that that's the way they should have went? Because if you're Sony and you're trying to build a franchise and have Venom as your own, you need Venom to be a relatable person.
But this movie, if you're intending to build a franchise, the first movie, the origin movie for Venom, for us at least, should have been him learning to control become friends with.
Yeah. That's what happened. Well, that's what happened in this movie.
But there's a whole other villain, which we didn't need, I don't think.
But that's one aspect that I kind of liked, is there was some witty banter between Venom and
Eddie Brock. Know each other. Like, yeah. They literally feel each other out. Mm-hmm. Like, I know what you're saying, that you'd have taken a different path. I have no problem with him bonding with Venom and them becoming, you know, Venom together.
Yeah.
Like, I have no problem with the way that that went down. That, to me, is one of the better parts of this awful movie.
Yep.
Because if none of that had happened, what else do you have happen in this movie? You have some douchebag billionaire that gets his own Venom suit, mm-hmm. of another, whatever the other Venom symbiote was named.
Riot.
Yeah. So you get Riot that just goes into space. I mean, like, that's it. That's the only thing that happens here.
Mm-hmm.
Without Eddie and Venom becoming one and staying one, you don't have anything to build any kind of future
for. Obviously, the movie would be very different.
But it?
I mean, no, I'm talking if Riot wasn't even in this movie, which we've already spoiled it, so sorry, but the other...
Hey, there are other symbiotes. There's a...
Many other symbiotes.
Millions of them.
Well...
The thing is, like, that's not what's wrong with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
This movie's just poorly written.
Well, it's poorly written. There are so many bad lines of dialogue. And I can tell at times, like, I can almost see Tom Hardy, like, this is the script you guys got for me. I signed on to this piece of crap, and this is the script you got
for
me.
It's like I'm taking my $20 million and getting the hell out of here.
Now, if this... Do you think it would have been conducted a lot differently if it was a Marvel movie?
Yes, it would have been handled...
Definitely.
Yeah. 100%
differently. Well, okay, no, so let me ask a real question, okay? Because, mm-hmm. yes, obviously be different. If this movie was rated R, would it have been better or worse for you?
Well, it would have gone the Deadpool route.
Yeah.
But, okay, it wouldn't have. I don't think so. It wouldn't have been as jokey and didn't need to be. But if it could have been as violent as it needed to be, or violent as they only cover up violence here, mm-hmm. with smoke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there are very violent scenes in this movie.
Let's not also forget that Eddie Brock as Venom is now a notorious mass murderer of thousands.
Well,
by the body count in this, it's well over 100. Well over 200.
Oh, yeah.
It's gotta be.
Yeah.
But they're all, I understand they're all, like, henchmen and villains. You know, they're all bad
people. You're allowed to kill bad guys.
And you can also eat their head.
And here's the one thing. I always thought Venom was straight up a villain, which he is, but he's kind of like an anti-hero.
Yeah, he's not a bad guy all the time. Listen, is he always a good guy?
Mm-mm. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what they're trying to build on, mm-hmm. is the anti-hero aspect, and I wouldn't say I'm excited. Like, I can wait till this next...
But you're right, though, because in the end, that the formula is followed.
Mm-hmm.
The anti-hero formula, what they do to try and win the day, that's exactly what anti-heroes do. So I don't want to, without spoiling it, but so you're right. You're right about that. And I think there is a possible franchise. I think given that this movie's almost a $400 million off a $100 million budget, we will definitely get a sequel.
Yeah, that's my question. Do we get a sequel to this?
Here's a sequel. Are they going to try to work it into the MCU, though? That's the question. Because, I mean, Spider-Man might as well be in the MCU. Yeah. He is part of it. It
depends on who owns the rights come Venom.
And look, we at one time we were talking about this, we all definitely thought that, what's his face?
Tom Holland. Yeah.
Was going to make an appearance in this movie. I would have thought that was a...
I would have bet
well, my life savings.
But they don't even make a reference to Spider-Man in this movie. Not one.
Exactly.
No, I think they did because they weren't quite sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they're just playing it safe by
I
not
forget,
doing it.
It was something. I think Ruben Fleischer said that there was no chance of Tom Holland or Spider-Man being in this. And then it was kind of a rumor.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, even after... He said that there was no Spider-Man.
Hmm.
I don't know.
It is what it is.
I think one of the enjoyable things was, for me at least, there were some funny jokes in here, witty banter, of course. But it's when Eddie Brock goes back to his now ex-fiance's apartment, and he asks about the cat.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the cat's name. Dang it.
Cat's just staring at him through the window.
Yeah, the cat's just staring at him. She's like, you hated that cat. Or
the cat hates you.
The cat hates you.
He doesn't hate me. It's a cat.
Yeah.
The
cat hates everyone.
I forget what he called. Oh, frick. It's going to bother me. I didn't write it down. Anyway. Here's my final thoughts on Venom is this. Is it a good movie? No. But here's what overrides that is Tom Holland is good.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy is good as Venom. He's always good. And this is the Venom movie that we all wanted from Spider-Man 3. So I think those two things alone, if you've not seen Venom or are on the fence about it, you know, your budget might be tighter, you don't want to, mm-hmm. you know, I would say see it.
Yeah.
This is a watchable bad movie.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
But I mean, same with like Starship Troopers. It's enjoyable, it's just not great.
Yeah.
So that's my go-to bad movie, by the way.
Hey, I don't think there's anything wrong with Starship Troopers.
I think Starship Troopers is a great movie, but a lot of people disagree with me.
Yeah. But, I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, obviously, it's not going to be for everybody.
And definitely stay for the after credits, as you know. Yeah.
All the way.
Which,
unlike my co.
Yeah, I am a little upset because I believe, I mean, it looks good. And everything that we're seeing from it, Into the Spider-Verse.
That looks fantastic. And the art style, I'm most excited for the art style.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta say.
Let's go. All right. So who wants to talk about the actual bright spot of this week?
Goosebumps?
Nick actually watched Goosebumps, so we're just gonna not talk about Star is Born.
No, that is not true. And so here's the thing. I went and saw A Star is Born, and then I went and saw Goosebumps 2 after it, and it is just such...
There's a big quality difference, I'm sure.
Yeah. It's like a roller coaster.
Okay, Star is Born. Boy, oh boy.
Written and directed by Bradley Cooper.
Mm-hmm. Starring
Bradley Cooper. And Lady Gaga.
And Bradley Cooper's voice. Yes, so Roger hit the nail on the head, but they, hell of a cast. I mean, joining Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, Sam Elliott, who's awesome.
Yeah. Awesome in this movie.
Fantastic.
Andrew Dice Clay. Dave Chappelle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Alec Baldwin makes a brief appearance. Of course, Alec Baldwin makes a brief appearance.
Alec Baldwin?
Yeah.
When?
Alec Baldwin?
When and where?
Did you watch the movie?
Yeah, I'm a little troubled that I didn't notice him.
He's in the beginning.
Oh my god. When they go to Saturday Night Live, never mind.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Oh, so my they God. Go to Saturday Night Live and Alec Baldwin is there.
What an idiot you are, Nick.
I was like, sorry, that you watch Goosebumps, but you don't remember Alec Baldwin, the Star is Born?
No, right, Andrew Dice Clay. Have you guys ever listened to his comedy or watched his comedy?
Of course. Remember, you're the child here.
I know.
Yeah. All these questions are aimed at you. So,
whatever.
It starts with him on stage. You've seen the shot in the trailer. He's singing out to thousands and thousands of people, tens of thousands of people. Great, and it's important to note, all these songs are recorded, like, that was Bradley Cooper the entire time singing.
Yeah.
That's, boy, oh boy.
As if he wasn't actually talented enough, like, this asshole can actually sing too. Yeah. That hurts me spiritually. I got no problem with Bradley Cooper, but come on, dude.
I believe
give someone else some talent.
I believe he worked on a year to, like, perfect that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's dedication. He's already a terrific actor.
So when you go to a heavy movie like this, one of the things is how they introduce the characters. Here's the kicker, is everything by the end is completely flipped.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
I mean, so they introduce him. He's a super famous, singing out tens of thousands of people.
Well, time out, Grayson. What sorry. Have you guys... I've never seen another Star is Born. This is the first one I've
seen them, but it's been ages.
Yeah.
So...
But anyways, sorry for interrupting you. I just wanted to...
And we were introduced to her by... She's in a bathroom and she's yelling at some idiot on the phone. And you hear her say...
I
don't want to marry you, Roger! And
kiss me. Yeah. She's talking to me.
Lady Gaga didn't want to marry you, Roger. That's, I'm sorry, buddy. But
it happens.
And then she is... She's working a serving gig.
So, yeah.
So just, like a catering job or something.
Catering job, paying the bills. And then she is singing at...
A drag bar.
Yeah.
A drag bar, which I thought was interesting because she's the only girl they allow to sing.
She's an actual lady.
Actual girl they allow to sing at a drag bar. And she's fantastic.
Which I really enjoyed that scene, especially when she got up and she was singing on the bar and all that.
That's good, but the weight of that scene comes after she sings.
No, so that's not even my favorite part of that whole scene. Mm. My favorite part is when Jackson Maine, Bradley Cooper's character, they're driving around looking for a place because he's out of booze.
Yeah.
And he wants to go drink more more alcohol. And he pulls up to a bar and he's like, let's stop right here. The guy at the door is like... Hey, aren't you Jackson? He's like, yeah. He's like, I don't know if this is your kind of bar, man, because it's legitimately a drag bar.
He's like, you guys have alcohol? He's like, yep. He's like,
this is my kind of bar. He walks right in, sits right down like a boss, and just owns it. Like, there's all these drag queens and
they're
everything.
They're like huddled around him,
and then he's having a good time. Like, he's just playing it.
I like how the character introduced introduced the one drag queen to him. Mm-hmm. And then a couple minutes later, when he sits back down, he's like, hey, have you met
Steve? He's like, yeah, I'm talking to Tiny here. Yeah. And then I like when he signs that the drag queen's fake breast.
Yes.
She's like, he's like, you signed my boobs. This is my Jackson Maynard boobs. This is
my Jackson titties. They get referred to several times throughout the movie.
Oh yeah, when they're FaceTiming later, she's like, he's like, I'm wearing my Jackson titties.
Wonderful.
Anyway, so here's one of the first great moments is, like Nick said, she sings, but the weight of this comes after.
She sings a song in French, by the way.
Yeah. Almost like a
burlesque type song.
Burlesque cross like stripper, like combining with a stripper kind of. That's how she does it.
That's what a burlesque is, buddy. Mm-hmm.
And her and Bradley Cooper, and if you've seen some of the movies before this week, you've seen the 1 minute clip of this conversation. It's not the whole conversation, but you get a good glimpse into it. But the conversation's extended. It's about her nose. With some really great, they talk about her nose for a while, and they talk about how she does. People don't like the way she looks, but they like her songs. Of course, you know that from the trailer. But and then the scene is expanded by they have a great conversation, and there's just them talking.
Yeah.
Like, there's no... I harp on this all the time, but, like, you don't need a $100 million budget and a green screen and people in space to tell a story.
Nope.
You just need two people that can act.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, off each other. And that's great.
Which, I just a quick shout-out to Lady Gaga. One, she's from Moundsville,
West Virginia. She's not from Moundsville.
She's not from Moundsville?
She has family from her local area here.
She's been in Moundsville.
There you go.
She may have been there, but she's not from Moundsville.
Yeah, sorry, everyone.
Do you think they'd have that Brad Paisley sign up if Lady Gaga was from... That
yeah, Brad Paisley actually, would come I down. I think they still would, because he's a giant star as well.
Fair, okay.
Yeah.
Fair.
But, yeah, I just wanted to say, I mean, I knew she was a great singer, obviously, but she has some acting chops, too. I know she was in American Horror Story.
But it's funny, because everything she's done before this is not anywhere near this caliber of even, one, production value, or two, like, she's... hasn't been that good in anything she's acted in.
Yeah.
And this is phenomenal.
We could try and pick this movie apart for an hour, and I don't think we could find really a bad thing about this movie.
No, she's but the thing is, they're both great.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean,
exactly.
They're both fantastic. I wrote some stuff down I want to talk about too, especially because so much in this movie blew me away. Mm-hmm. The whole performance she sings, like Roger says, kind of like a burlesque meets a stripper. She's awesome at it. They have a chat. I love how she... Then they go to another bar, and they're talking, and they go to
a cop bar.
Some cop comes over. He's like, "You're Jax, I gotta get my picture." And then he takes a picture of him.
She takes the phone. She's like, "I'll take the picture. I'll take the goddamn picture." And she punches the dude
right in the face. But it's a good punch, too. You don't even see it coming. Like, it's just... And then, like, Jax has to pick her up and take her out of the bar. And it's really a good moment. And then they go looking for peas. Mm-hmm. Frozen food at a local, like,
grocery store. Like a Kroger,
Kroger. And then
the cashier.
There's no one else in there. And they get the peas. And he buys his driver the Flamin' Hot Cheeto Balls.
Yeah.
And then...
I like when they're at the cashier, and she takes a photo.
No, she actually apologizes. She said, "I couldn't help it." Jackson looks right at her, she's like, "She'll hit you." I've seen it.
Well,
she said that again, too.
Yeah, well, he says it's okay, and then she's like, "No, it's not." And then they start walking away, he's like, "She'll hit you."
She'll hit you. She gets violent. She, like, reacts violently again. She's like, you should really tell people you're going to do that first. Like, yeah. I mean... Anyway, and then they have what I think is one of the better movie scenes of the whole movie is they sit out on the stoop, or on like the
parking lot.
Yeah.
What do you call those things that, like, you pull up to and you
just like a
what do they call that piece of cement that your car like you
just
park?
There's the curb. It's a curb.
Okay, the parking curb, whatever that is, and then but the whole what's great about that is the camera mostly is behind them, and you see like their profile shot. As if it's, you know, it's shot in reverse shot. Like, that's a great conversation. Again, it's just two people. They're talking about songs. She gets up and sings, like, 25 seconds of a much larger song
that she is writing on the fly, basically. Yeah.
And it's just, it's one of those, it's like, holy mother, those people, they do so well together. that's electrifying, some of those performances.
Well, that actually gets better because of what happens in the next few minutes where she gets dropped off at the house and he says, I want you to come to my gig tonight. And it's somewhere else where she's got to fly through and she tells him, no.
Well, but the important part there is that's when, you know, she's been up all night. She looks like crap. She's not showered in 18 hours. And that's when he says, like, when she's walking to her house trying to get away from him to save what dignity she has, the thing she has left. And he says, hey, she turns around and he says, I just want to take another look at you. And then she does this thing, like, she profiles herself to the side and draws a line down her face with a note. Like, it's important thematically.
Yeah.
And then she goes, she's at his next gig, Roger Takeover.
So she doesn't want to go to the gig, doesn't want to keep saying no.
She has to work.
She walks into her job, okay? Walks into her job. The driver has been following her around all day. He's like, it's my job. I'll be sitting across the corner whenever you're ready.
Driver's like, I can't go back to Jackson alone, so.
Yeah. So I'll be here. Which is actually, I think that's refreshing and funny because he's like, no, seriously, I can't leave.
Yeah.
But so she walks into her job. The one guy says something to her and she's like, F it, I'm out.
Yep.
She just quits and she's like, this is happening. This is happening right now. So her and her friend from the guy from the drag bar go with her, takes her straight there, straight on the plane. They fly right to where she's at, right on backstage, gets a backstage pass. They both do. They go with her. And it's probably about halfway through his set by the time, you know, she actually arrives there. And he comes over after the song he's singing and talks to her for a second. And he's like, I have a surprise for you. He's like, I wrote an arrangement about the song that she had sang in the parking lot at, like, 4 in the morning.
That requires both of them.
Yeah. Yep. He wrote a song based off half of the lyrics that she said to him, and he's like, I'm going to start singing. You need to come sing your part. And she's like, I can't. She's like, there's no way. I can't do it. And mind you, we have already heard her sing. She's got a great voice, and it's Lady Gaga, so we all know that she can sing.
Pause for a moment. In that moment, Did you feel the butterflies? I mean,
yes. Oh yeah, that's what he's getting to, man.
This is my favorite moment of the whole movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, because he starts singing, and her part is coming up.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he's just going to start the song.
Yeah. He's just going, and he's
do
singing.
Or die.
He's
do
making or die. His own part of the song, and she's like, I can't. She turns, she grabs a shot of whatever's off stage, like tequila or something, clangs it down, and just right up on stage. Right into the part of the song, and they basically make up the ending of the song on the fly together.
It's a duet, and it's amazing. It's, awesome. It's amazing.
It is awesome.
So one of the great moments of film that I still have not been able to, like, really define, but that's it completely, like, I was, like, the hair on the back of my neck stood up. Like, that's a great moment.
If you had gotten to the point in the movie and you weren't enjoying it, and this didn't tip you over the edge, like, this is going to be really good.
Because this is still very early in the film.
Nah, it's a third of the way.
I don't even know if it's a third. Right. It's probably 25, 30 minutes max. And this is a long movie, by the way. It's 220, so...
Easy.
It's long. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, and this starts them going down this path together. She goes on tour with him, quits her job, goes on tour with him, and...
But early, we see signs of struggle from Jackson.
Well...
He's got an alcohol problem. Yeah.
He's got a major alcohol problem, an ego problem that doesn't help that. You know, she gets noticed quickly.
Yeah.
She gets offers from another guy who doesn't, he's not particularly fond of him. But not because he has a thing for
manager,
her.
Yeah, it's his
That's
manager.
His manager.
It is his manager. But again, he's not particularly fond of him. Like, he doesn't...
Well, I guess managers are douchebags.
Rez, yeah.
Jackson. Mm-hmm. He's out of control drinking, you know. He's like a ticking time bomb, and that guy knows it.
Yeah.
So he's that's the interesting part, though.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it's just business with managers, but if you see like a shining star coming along, that's brought up.
You got to grab him.
Yeah.
Like, latch onto those stars.
Yep. One thing that I really enjoyed, Bobby, by Sam Elliott.
Oh, Sam Elliott's character is great.
Which you don't really learn his relationship with Jackson Maine. I mean, you do fairly, maybe half, not halfway through, but a third of the way through, you find out that they're brothers.
Oh, no, you find out far earlier than that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
I don't think it's really told.
In these moments they have, the brothers have together, Bradley Cooper is great.
Yeah.
But Sam Elliott still outshines him in the scenes that they're in together.
Well, their last scene together, and I'm going to talk about what happens, is awesome.
Yeah.
You mean the fight?
No, no, their very last scene together.
Oh, okay. The very last thing
that they say to each other is amazing.
Yeah, but so is that fight, that argument they have, which everyone in his camp is witnessing. But, like, and here's what I love about it, is every time How to Sing is brought up, you know, he tells her when he's trying to give her the courage to go out there and sing is, you got to dig. You got to dig in your soul. If you go out there without telling the truth, they're going to know it. You can't do that. And, like, but every... There are so many moments in this movie that are real, that are raw, that is, there are the characters are completely vulnerable, and that's why I love, that's why I dig about how Bradley Cooper did this, how he must have made a decision early in the process, like, no, every moment I want it to be as real and authentic as possible.
Yeah.
Every moment in this movie matters too. Yeah. Like, there's not filler in this movie. That's... Like I said, this movie is long, and each piece of this puzzle matters.
So there's not many movies, especially movies that are 2 hours and 20 minutes long, that I would watch again right after I watch it.
I can't wait to watch this again.
Exactly.
I really...
This is going to be a 4K purchase day one.
Yeah, I cannot wait to watch this movie again. And so, let's get off of the actual plot for a minute.
Uh-huh.
Let's talk about the singing, okay?
Yeah.
Because it's great.
By the way, the soundtrack is available on... I know it's on Apple Music, it's on iTunes, it's on Spotify, and I've been listening to it almost nonstop since I saw the movie.
It's great. Bradley Cooper is amazing. Lady Gaga is obviously Lady Gaga, and they have duets, a couple of them actually, that are wonderful.
Like, Oscar for best song?
I'm sure this will get it.
And I don't know if it'll get it, but it'll definitely be a part of the mix. But here's the thing: what song do you choose? There are multiple songs in this movie.
I think you'd have to go with
duet, probably, right?
I would think so. Last year,
I don't think there's a bad song in this.
There's not. There's not. But you can't nominate every song.
Yeah, exactly. Could you imagine?
I would think the song that is nominated is going to surprise you, only because last year, The Greatest Showman, This Is Me, I don't think was the strongest showing for that movie.
Yeah.
But it's definitely going to be the one that she wrote for them, the duet, or the one that he starts in the beginning of the movie, the Baby Let the Old Ways Die. It'll be definitely one of those two.
Yeah.
They're great. Like, each one of that is great. The acting in this movie is great. Like I said, we mentioned about Lady Gaga before. Like, I didn't realize that she had this kind of talent.
Acting talent, yeah. That's what surprised me so much. Is, I mean, we all know Lady Gaga is a great singer, and
even if you don't like her music, which it's not the type of music I listen to. Like I mentioned to you guys before we started, when me and my wife were on our way to go see the movie last night. One of her songs was on the pop station on the satellite radio. My wife's like, this is a song from a movie. I had no idea because I couldn't tell you the last time I heard a Lady Gaga song that wasn't like, you know, one of the old ones.
Yeah.
So it's neat to see that happening too. So
and I had the same thing happen to me today at work. I mean, it just came on and I was so excited. I was just sitting there. I was like, ah, I was feeling so giddy. But man. There's some tough scenes to watch.
There are very tough scenes, but see, here's the thing. You have to watch this movie to understand how powerful it is, too, because it is start to finish. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's in a line. And when you get to the end of this movie, like, the way it ends is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell you what happens. I'm not going to talk about that anymore. But if you didn't leave this movie theater going, wow, I don't know what to say to you.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. The very last shot you leave on, I'm not going to say anything about the shot, don't worry. The very last shot of the movie, like, the conversations that people have before that lead up to that, like, they build that last shot. And it's so important you watch that last 15, 20 minutes. No, don't look at your phone. Don't pay attention to anyone else in the theater. If you're with a, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, pretend they don't exist for 20 minutes. Just watch the drama. I mean, when the ending unfolds,
it's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so strong.
Honestly,
if that doesn't get nominated for Best Picture, the other movies have to be damn good.
Do you think Bradley Cooper might get a Best Director?
Yes, 100%.
You know what? Yeah, that one I'd bank on. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about other things, because that was going to be our expanded discussion, right? Will this get a Best Picture nomination? Okay. So I actually want to ask a slightly different question. Who in this movie will get an Oscar nomination. Because the movie itself, I think, is pretty much a lock to get one.
I think he'll get nominated for Best Leading, and she'll get nominated for Best Supporting.
Okay, no.
She's not a supporting actress. Sorry, Best Actress. I didn't mean to say supporting. Best actor. You guys are looking at me weird.
Do you think Sam Elliott might get a Best Supporting?
Well, see, I don't know if it would be him or Dave Chappelle's character.
Yeah.
Oh, Noodles.
Because Dave Chappelle's character, who is not in this movie very long, okay, and that's all I'm willing to say about it, but he plays a very important role, and he does it very, very well. Like,
it's an odd choice, too.
It's kind of like, my wife, she leans over, she's like, is that Dave Chappelle? I'm like, yeah, that's Dave Chappelle.
Very, very important role. And that, those are some touching scenes, too, that he is
great.
Because he hasn't been relevant for 5-10 years, right?
He just had a Netflix comedy special.
But he was nowhere near as popular as he used to be in, like, early 2000s.
No, that's
right. I mean, the point is what Roger just said, is he's so good, Bradley Cooper had to be like, you know what? I gotta give Dave Chappelle a shot. Be like, he must have auditioned for it because he must have wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's what...
I wonder if they know each other.
I'm sure they do. Yeah. I'm sure most
people you know what I mean? Because it's... Like, I understand your point. Like, with having Dave Chappelle in that role, you could have had 1,000 actors play that. And you ended up with Dave Chappelle. And listen, it's awesome that it is Dave Chappelle, and it's great. But it's odd that he's the guy that's there. So...
Yeah.
Noodle. I love his name, Noodles, too. That's the best name ever. Yeah. Noodles. So, oh, my goodness. I can't get over, like, the way this... The ending is haunting, yet beautiful at the same time.
It's great. It's a wonderfully ended movie.
And yeah. I didn't take... I took one note down during the movie, and it was very early on, and I was like, I can't take notes. I just want to enjoy this movie.
Nick Wright. Nick made a note. I can't take notes.
But no, it's just a quote when they go to the supposed farm of where he grew up. Mm-hmm. Jackson Maine grew up, and Jackson Maine says 127 acres of nuts, Navajo, and nowhere to go. And I mean, they get to the farmland, and it's
not what he thinks it is.
Yeah, it's rapidly changed, and then that changes
goes down a different path.
Yes,
so. I don't know. So, guys, if you had to give this score for this movie, 1 to 10.
Then I don't like giving out ancillary tens. I can't remember last time
I can't give it a 10.
And that's why I said earlier, I was like, I want to give this a 10 out of 10, but I gave it a 9 out of 10.
Oh, hold on. I'm sorry. I didn't want to cut you off. Let's ask I have a better question. Is this the best movie we've seen in the last 4 months?
Definitely. I'd say, yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's the best movie I've seen.
What did you think is better?
Better as an overall movie or as a drama?
Let's start with the overall movie.
I still think I might like Crazy Rich Asians more.
That's what I was thinking too. Like, if one's gonna beat it, it's Crazy Rich Asians.
Now listen. This is a better movie than Crazy Rich Asians. But to me,
it's certainly a heavier movie. Hollywood likes. We all know Hollywood likes those heavy movies.
I'm okay with that. Listen, this is definitely in the top two movies I've seen, you know, in this calendar year. Yeah. So, it's great. It really is great. It's just, I like if you compare it to the other things that we've seen lately, because we've seen a lot of shit lately, right? Like, there's some really bad movies we've seen, and then this coming out now is awesome. And I know we have First Man coming, which I hope is anywhere near the hype that it is getting.
Yeah.
I think I might walk out in the first.
you should do that, actually, just so you waste your money. I think that's fair.
I often forget, because I get this a lot. A lot of my friends and a lot of people ask me, like, what's the best movie or what are good movies to see lately?
Mm-hmm.
When, and I usually forget. We see so many movies.
That's a hard question for somebody like me, too.
But this is definitely top-notch.
But to say top-notch, I think, is not really fair. But there's so much more than that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I can count on one hand the amount of times I've seen a movie post-2000 with the guy who wrote it. Well, he directed it, starred in it. Like, mm-hmm. It's just as good as the other part of he did. Like, it's
his directorial debut. Right?
This is his directorial debut.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
My God.
It's good.
Yeah. Go see this movie if you haven't already.
Kid's got a career after acting.
I would say that's probably a no-brainer. Bradley Cooper will have his choice of whatever he wants. Hands down.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So I wonder if he comes out sometime in the next 5 years or so and makes another movie in this kind of, like, darker drama vein. Because I bet he does. Like, I'd have a hard time believing he's going to come out and make, like, a comedy.
No, he definitely won't.
Well, it's so weird because, I mean, he's a well-rounded actor. I mean, obviously.
Yeah, he does everything.
Yeah. And it's so weird from him going, because he's not really the same person. He has the same haircut as The Hangover.
Sure. Sure.
But, yeah, I mean, American Sniper was a very serious role. It just... But this one
every time I watch that movie, I like it less and less.
Yeah?
Every time. I always forget that's Eastwood, too.
Yeah,
I always forget
and, that's Clint Eastwood. They have another movie coming.
Yeah, he's in Mule.
The Mule, yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about Mule last week.
Oh, yeah?
It was a trailer.
Okay. The one you decided to play hooky on.
Hey. Anyways, so here's a question that has been in my head for the past couple minutes. Now, like I said, I have not seen the past A Star Is Born movies.
This is the third remake.
Third remake, yeah.
37, one in the 50s, then one in
78
with Christofferson. I think it's 70s, and yeah, then this one.
Christofferson and Streisand, right?
Streisand. Yeah.
So, do you think there's going to be... I mean, has there been any... Have you guys seen anything about maybe which one could be the best one?
It's going to be this one.
I would imagine this one.
Yeah.
None of the other ones got nominated for Oscars, did they?
I don't think so.
And this one will.
Yeah.
At least, in some capacity, this will have an Oscar nomination of at least one.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I expect multiple Oscar nominations. I don't know if anybody wins anything mm-hmm. for it. Maybe the song for sure.
Yeah.
But there, I mean, it's gonna slide right in there as a big ticket movie. And it's, honestly, go see it.
Yeah, go see this movie. It's definitely gonna be a movie we will be talking about probably extensively during Oscar season.
I think
season.
So. I think you're gonna talk. Yeah, this is gonna be heavily talked about.
And I mean, if you haven't seen it already, my God, go see it. It's not a waste of money. Like some movies could be. It's worth the ticket price over and over again. This
that,
is a
and,
movie
and
I
that
would
last,
go see 47
and there,
times.
There's several... I mean, I can't stop thinking about a certain conversation that they have with each other. It's near the end of the film. It's so good. I keep replaying it in my head.
Yeah.
To, like, pick it apart. And it's so good as a whole. And they're both, at that time, the most vulnerable they've been. And this movie is about vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
It's about digging into your soul. It's, man, it's so good. I was blown away by this one. Blown away. Not that I didn't expect to be,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, going back to what I give it, giving it a 10 means it's perfect. It's not perfect.
Yeah.
But see, this is when you get on like the 8.7 to the 8.7 to 9, but it's not just like 5, 6, 7. Mm-hmm. It's like there's so many numbers between 8.7 and 10 that there's probably like a dozen numbers that
yeah.
you could assign it.
This is a great movie. Just
I would say like a 9.4. Like,
it's up there. It's,
see,
it's...
I mean, I give it a solid 9 out of 10. If I were, I definitely would go over probably 9.4, 9.5. Definitely. But if I'm rating it on IMDb, which is just out of 10, I'm giving it a 9.
That's fair. I mean, look, I'm not saying anything wrong with your rating system. I mean, your scoring system.
Hey, talk to IMDb about that.
I mean, you gave it a 9, I gave it a 9.4. We're not that much different. But, Roger, what would you give it?
I'm going to give it one of the best movies I've seen this year. Like, that's...
Okay, that's fair.
That's all that I'll say about it. I mean, really, it's
would you
great.
Give it two thumbs up?
I'd yeah.
give it three if I had a
two thumbs, hand. Two big toes. I mean...
One big nose.
Yeah, man, all that, of course.
One
geez.
Gaga nose up.
Yeah, one Gaga nose.
One Gaga nose.
That's funny.
But I mean, it's a great movie, yeah. and you should go see it.
Mm-hmm.
That's I can't say anything more to encourage someone to go check it out
yeah.
than that.
So, best picture material, we're agreed on that.
Should definitely be in a conversation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Also, let me ask you this. Before we move on to Clark, I want to ask you one very simple question. It'll be quick. You take Bradley Cooper, Tom Hardy, switch their roles. Could they have done that? Could Tom Hardy have been Venom? Or been
what?
Eddie Brock?
And you mean
sorry,
could
Bradley Brad... Cooper and Eddie Brock and Tom Hardy have been Jackson?
No. I don't think so.
No. I think Cooper could have been easily
could
have been Eddie Brock.
Been Venom. I don't think Hardy could have been.
See,
Jackson.
I don't know.
It's hard to discount Tom Hardy because
yeah,
he's awesome.
Exactly, and I think Tom Hardy could have played Jackson Maine, but it would have been a different movie.
He wouldn't have directed it.
No, no, of course
right
not.
No, but I noticed they're both like grizzly, gruff looking dudes, but they look the same. So I thought, oh, I could
Grayson's
switch them.
Jealous of their facial hair.
Okay. Getting back on a more serious note, the Clark Hayes list of movies you should know and or be able to reference, I went with Crazy Heart.
Spider-Man 3.
No, Crazy Heart. So, Jeff Bridges, 2009.
Tobey Maguire, Topher Grace, Kristen...
Wrong movie!
My bad.
Damn it. Crazy Heart with Jeff
James
Bridges.
Franco.
Jeff Bridges. Maggie Gyllenhaal, Colin Farrell. It's for me it's special because I met Scott Cooper when I worked on Out of the Furnace and I got to talk to him about Crazy Heart. It's a big deal for me. But Crazy Heart was up for nominations that year as well. So, but it's about a musician who is in the latter part of his life and he's looking at decisions he's made leading up to it. He's out of money. He's out of He's out of and it's inspiration, and he meets someone, and he gets inspired again to become the man he was. It's a hell of a movie. Scott Cooper's given us some good movies, he's given us some bad movies, but this is one of the better ones, so definitely check that out, especially if you loved Stars Born, which I'm pretty
like
sure
Crazy
you did.
Oh, you'll like Crazy Heart if you like Stars Born.
I mean, Jeff Bridges is good. I mean, he's every good as good as Bradley Cooper. Okay, Roger, give me a squinty eye.
We'd split hairs to argue about it, but I like Crazy Heart, though. It's a good movie, so check it out.
All right, thank you very much for listening to the episode. As always, we're on iTunes, Podbean, Google Play, and we're on Spotify as well. You can tweet the show at LoveCinemaPod, follow the show. You can follow me at GraysonMaxwell1.
And more 1776.
And at Rod Stillian.
Check out the Facebook page for The Love of Cinema. Send us a message if you'd like to talk about something, or you think we didn't cover something fairly, or you think Stars Born is a 2 and not a 10. Tell us.
And if you think that,
let me know. If you walked out of First Man after 15 minutes, let us know why.
Especially when it's a 2 hour and 20 minute.
Well, any one of those combinations, send to fortheloveofcinemapodcast@gmail.com. Next week, we'll be talking about a combination of the following: Bad Times at the El Royale, First Man, and Goosebumps Haunted Halloween. And on Wednesday, I will tweet out and put on the Facebook page what Netflix movie we'll be covering as well. So, again, thank you very much for listening, and have a good night. Nick, you're still
Oh, man,
reserve.
Hold on. You know what? Never mind.
So, wait, we're not going to talk about Spider-Man 3?
This wasn't the Spider-Man 3 podcast? No, but you know, there is a podcast that some guys do. They pick one awful movie a year, and for 52 episodes, they talk about that movie every week.
The same movie?
The same movie a week. How would you do that?
Wait, what?
That's supposed to be a funny podcast, but it exists.
Gets better with every week.
Wait, do they talk about it exclusively for 50 episodes?
Well, I don't know how each episode might be a minute long, or like 5 minutes long.
Okay, so what episode are we in?
91.
So, I'm going to start talking about Spider-Man 3 in this episode, and we'll talk to you a calendar year from now. Every week.
I expect you to cleverly shoehorn it in every week for the next 52 weeks.
Like you used to talk about James Cameron and Terminator.
I could all day, baby. All day.
That's right.
Thanks for listening. Nick, you're still a damn weasel.
Hey, man.